Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is from our Gospel. The Gospel of from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning with the 7th verse. Dear friends in Christ, there are many different terms or names you might use to refer to the public minister of the Gospel. We often use the term pastor. Oh, there is minister and preacher and reverend. Some people might use father or priest. We could probably come up with a few more. Those names, those terms, they mean something. Pastor comes from the Latin for shepherd. One who watches over a flock. A pastor is one who watches over the flock of God. It's a very fitting term. Preacher. Many people see the pastor's primary job is preaching in the pulpit, so they call him preacher. Minister, pastor is one who serves with the gospel. He serves the gospel and he serves with the gospel, God's people. Then there's reverend. Reverend's a little bit different than the other three. The other three is a term that describes something the pastor does. Reverend, on the other hand, really describes the honor and respect that is due a public minister of the gospel. Reverend may not be the best term to use for a public minister of the gospel, but it is somewhat fitting, and it may stem from our text for today. Remember what the letter to the Hebrews tells us in verses 7 and 17. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Honor, respect, obedience, following those who speak the word of God to you. And today, we see that we don't just respect, follow, obey the man. We don't focus on the man, but on the ministry. For those who share the word of God to you are just jars of clay holding a special treasure. And they are called by the Lord. When you think of a pastor and the work that a pastor does, what first comes to mind? Like we said before, probably preaching. But what else does a pastor do? Of course, there's a joke. Well, a pastor only works just a couple hours a week. Well, he preaches, and sure, he leads the congregation in worship. There's the Bible classes he teaches, the confirmation classes, the meetings that he runs, counseling those with law and gospel. He administers the sacraments, uses the keys. He visits shut-ins and people in hospitals. A pastor, you can say, does many different things. Perhaps you can summarize it by saying a pastor is the overseer of the congregation. He's the one who watches over the spiritual lives of God's flock under his care. And in all these things, the pastor answers to God. Sure, he is called by a congregation and he works with the congregation and serves the congregation, but ultimately he is accountable to God. As the writer to the Hebrews says, they are men who must give an account. So a pastor should closely scrutinize everything he does. He gives the best he can in every sermon, in every visit, in every contact, in every lesson, and so on. Martin Luther once said, "I have the commission and charge as a preacher and a doctor to see to it that no one is misled, so that I may give an account of it at the last judgment." It'd be nice if every conscience of every pastor was clear. It'd be great if every pastor did their job perfectly. But as you know all full well, not every pastor is perfect. No pastor is perfect. And they're just like you. They're sinners, born into sin, redeemed sinners by Jesus Christ. Sure, the writer to the Hebrews tells us to imitate their faith, watch their life. And Paul says, as we read last week, that pastors must be above reproach. But they don't live perfect lives. They're sinners who struggle daily against temptation. And pastors are certainly not perfect as they go about their ministry. Sermons aren't always going to be the most captivating. Bible classes won't always hit home. They don't always connect that well with certain age groups throughout the congregation. Perhaps you wish the pastor was funnier or smarter, more personal, better at evangelism, or that he applied God's truth better to your life. As you know all too well, a pastor isn't always going to say the right things at the right time or make the right decisions at every time. There might be a time when he slips into some false doctrine, when he used law instead of the gospel, when he unknowingly offended someone. Pastors aren't perfect. And then the temptation then is to focus on the man, to zone in on all the shortcomings and pitfalls that this man has and faults. Well, you don't like when he said this or that. You don't like when he made this decision or that decision. He's not good at this. He really struggles at that. And you don't always see eye to eye with him. And as a result, you become critical of him. And your respect for him is lost. You don't really obey him or listen to him. Only when you want. Or, of course, the opposite could be also true. You really respect and honor your pastor. You really like the way he preaches. You're really engaged in Bible class. You think he's great with youth and has a heart for the elderly. You love him. You respect him. You really think he's great, and that's why you attend worship so much. That's why you want to attend Bible class. In both cases, then, we're focusing on the man. We obey him or we listen to him, we follow him, we worship the Lord or we don't go to worship, whatever it is, based on the man and not the gospel, and not Christ. And then our priorities and our motives are not pure. So why respect and honor? Why listen and follow our pastors? Not because of who they are, but because of the ministry they have been entrusted. Notice what the writer to the Hebrews calls those who they were to obey. The leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Pastors have been entrusted with the word of God. The sweet message of the gospel. A message of reconciliation that we have been restored to a right relationship with God through the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. It is that blood that paid the price for your sins. He took all your sins upon himself, including all the times that you have failed to show respect to your leaders. He suffered and died for you. And he gave you his perfect life, his perfect obedience has now been credited to you. And the sure hope of eternal life is yours through his resurrection from the dead. The message of the cross, the message of the gospel has been entrusted to those pastors who have been called to serve you. They are there to comfort you in times of sorrow, to encourage you in times of doubt, to spread the gospel, to share the message of the crucified and risen Savior. That's a beautiful message that has been entrusted to men who really aren't all that great, who really aren't that beautiful. It reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The treasure is the gospel. Something so precious, something so amazing has been entrusted to something that doesn't deserve it. Weak, fragile, sinful human beings, pastors. So when we think about a treasure in a jar of clay, do we not like the treasure because the jar of clay is not what we want it to be? Or ladies, if you get some jewelry for a present, or men, if you ever bought some jewelry, do you think you're not going to like it because you don't like the packaging it comes in? No, you're not focused on the packaging. You're focused on the treasure within. So it is with the ministry of the gospel. We're not focusing on the package, on the jars of clay. We focus on the treasure they preach. So we love them and cherish them. We listen to them and obey them and respect them, not because of who they are, because of the sweet message of the gospel that they share with us. And yet, I have heard, while talking to members of other congregations, or perhaps you've thought this yourself, or maybe I've thought this too, why does this person have to be our pastor? Or I'm glad he's not our pastor. Why do I have to listen to this guy week in and week out? How can that one even be a pastor? He has no qualifications and is completely incompetent. Notice what the writer to the Hebrew calls Jesus in verse 20. He calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. Christ is regularly referred to as a shepherd. It's one of the favorite pictures of the Bible. A shepherd, of course, is one who watches over the sheep, who guards them and protects them from all danger, who leads them to food, who is even willing to give up his life for his sheep. But a shepherd, of course, can't watch over his sheep 24/7, so he gets other people, yes, other people, to do that for him. In a similar way, then, while the Lord is up in heaven, he sends men, he chooses men to serve as his shepherds here on earth. Pastors are sometimes referred to as Christ's under-shepherds. Christ is the chief, the great shepherd of the sheep, and he sends pastors or under-shepherds who serve him by serving his people. Christ has called pastors to serve his congregation. They are a gift to the church, whether we agree with them or whether we like them or not. They have been chosen and sent by God to serve him. The answer to the complaint then, well, how can this guy be a pastor? Or how come this guy is my pastor? The answer is because the Lord called and chose him to serve him here, and the Lord will bless his work. And as we already talked about, he won't be perfect. He won't always do or say the right things. But a faithful shepherd, a faithful pastor, is one who strives to be faithful to the Word of God. And in his service to the Lord, for that you're thankful. And both you and the pastor realize that the power of the gospel doesn't depend on the one who's sharing the gospel, as we talked about last week. And that gives us comfort and encouragement. The power to bring someone to faith and to keep someone in the one true faith doesn't depend on how great a speaker the pastor is. Doesn't depend on whether he's personable or funny, if he's well-spoken. The same way, We don't have to worry if the pastor isn't all that well-spoken, if he isn't personable, he isn't funny, if he isn't all that engaging, if he isn't all that smart. The power to bring someone to faith and keep someone in the one true faith depends only on the Holy Spirit, who works only through the gospel. And that's really all that matters when it all comes down to it. Is the pastor, is my pastor, is any pastor faithful to the Word of God? Does he teach it in its truth and purity? The pastor's job is to lead the sheep to quiet waters, to lead the sheep through the Word of God, so that they may grow in faith and knowledge of God, so their faith may be strengthened. And ultimately, the goal is to lead them to Christ who lives in heaven, so that they may live with Him for eternity. So the question to ask is my pastor leading me down the one path to eternal life with my Savior through the gospel? A faithful shepherd is one who has the sheep's well-being in mind. And a faithful pastor, then, is one who has the spiritual well-being of God's flock in mind. He cares about each and every one of the souls under his care. And he wants what Christ wants, that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. When we follow pastors, when we work together with them, his work is a joy. But when a sheep strays or when a sheep refuses to listen, it bogs down the spiritual lives of all the other sheep and is of no advantage to anyone. And so, we follow our pastors who speak the Word of God to us, who do it faithfully. We focus not on the man, but on the ministry. Whether we like the man or whether we don't, whether we think he's gifted or he's not, the ministry, the gospel, Christ is what we follow. That gospel, that ministry leads us to Christ and to eternal life with Him. Faithfulness to that ministry is what matters. And when He is faithful, we willingly and cheerfully follow Him, give Him honor and respect and might even revere Him, not because of the man, but because of the ministry. Amen. Please stand. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.